Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it's going to be interesting to see how this Steeler defense matches up against a lethal Ravens offense. The stuff that Lamar is doing, you know, I don't really care what your feelings are toward Lamar as far as is he going to win a Super Bowl, that type of thing. It's become ridiculous what this guy's doing. He's 15 points clear of the field in passer rating. The next 15 after him are closer than that, are within 15 points, or at least I think it was 12 to 15, somewhere in there. Then he is. Oh, and by the way, he's on pace to rush for 914 yards, which would be the seventh best season ever for a quarterback. He's Ohtani. He's basically Shohei Ohtani when Ohtani was pitching and hitting. And they have Derrick Henry. And they have a great scheme, and they're popping 30-plus points a game. And they're just a dynamic, dynamic offense. So how will the Steelers match up with him? We had Arthur Mollett. Do you happen to have that clip, Folsey? Mulsey? Limits? Whatever your name might be?
Yes, there you go.
They've done well against Lamar, but let's be honest, they really haven't faced Lamar that much lately. And in last year's game, he threw a horrific pass that got intercepted in the end zone, but I thought he was largely good in the game and got killed by drop passes. So who knows if their tried and true formula against Lamar will work, but one guy knows what they've done against Lamar. That's Arthur Mollett. He used to play here. This was him in the Ravens locker room talking about how the Ravens are going to contend with what the Steelers do. He has the Steelers' secrets against Lamar.
All right, so this is what they're trying to do with Lamar. They're going to put a person at the dive, and they're going to run a person straight at Lamar, and they're going to make him make a decision. So that's their game plan. One person goes to Lamar, one person goes to the dive for the RPO, and that's going to be their game plan to slow him down a little bit. From what I said, maybe they change a little bit. I ain't been there in a while, but
and Lamar's changed as well.
Exactly. He can throw way better now. And he lost a little weight. When I was over there, he was a little fat man.
Whoa.
But now, you know, lost a little weight and running like his old self.
Yeah, man. I think that sounds pretty simplistic. I'm sure other people try that too. I think the fact that the Steelers have some pretty good players on defense factors into that. But I still give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit for how they've played Lamar. It's jarring to see the numbers that the Steelers have compared to the other two teams in the division, which Lamar, I think he's 17-7 with way more touchdowns than picks against the Bengals and Browns combined. And then against the Steelers, it's 2-4. As Brian Bacco pointed out yesterday, it's really 1-3 because they only played partial games. He got credit for a win he probably shouldn't have gotten, credit for a loss he probably shouldn't have got. So 1-3 with more interceptions than touchdowns. So what will happen when this Steelers defense faces, I think, even a couple levels up from what Washington was bringing? When you're talking Lamar and Derrick Henry, I think that's just true. And two guys that spring to mind here, Wonder Twin, are Minka Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr. These are the two guys you don't want to have to worry about in your secondary. It should be like, yeah, those two are fine. Then we might have some problems. Although Deshaun Elliott's been very good. I shouldn't include him in that. But beyond those guys, you know, how does the depth play out? How's Cam Sutton going to be? Things like that. But are they themselves concerns? Minka and Joey Porter, I got a bunch of questions on them in my Post-Gazette mailbag. Let's start with Minka and the fact that he hasn't had an interception since some point in the 2022 season. He hasn't had a forced fumble since some point in the 2021 season, and he hasn't recovered a fumble since 2021. I mean, this is unbelievable. It really is. It's reached the point where, what are we talking about here? 40 games practically for some of this stuff? Passes defensed, you know, a couple years ago in 2022, he had 6 picks and 11 passes defensed. This year he has none and 2 passes defensed. So always the question for me with Minka, like there's no doubt that based on his salary, he's not making enough splash plays. But I also have to ask, what are they asking him to do on a play-to-play basis? Is it fair to judge him the way you might have judged him in the year he got 6? Or in years where he's had interceptions plus a fumble recovery and a forced fumble, that type of thing, you know. Splash plays. Bunches of passes defensed. And I still feel like I need to get to the bottom of that. Maybe with Chris Hoke tomorrow. Like, I'm going to text him today and see if he can look more into that. What exactly is Minka being asked to do? And how does that affect his ability to create turnovers? Because if you're bringing him into the box to be a de facto linebacker a lot, well, that's not a way to get interceptions, right? But I don't know. I'd have to see more about his snap counts, more about how he's being utilized. And I think Chris can help us there. Now, the question came up on ESPN. What does Minka bring to the Steelers' defense right now if it's not going to be turnovers? And is this Dan Orlovsky answering this question? Let's hear it.
At the snap, is he going back towards the sideline, back towards the middle field? Is he dropping down? Is it single high? Is it too high safety? And he's constantly lying to the quarterbacks with his pre-snap and post-snap disguise. And it maybe doesn't force one mistake on that play, but what it does is you start to play slower and slower and slower as a quarterback with trusting your eyes and the things that you're seeing. It forces hesitation, and then it catches up to you later in the game. It's very Ed Reed-like when it comes to that position. I think that's what he really brings as a secondary, as a safety player, and why that Steelers defense has gotten so much better since he got there.
All right. That makes sense. That's a former NFL quarterback saying some of the stuff he does sets up things later in the game. That's what I heard there, Limits. It's the old, you don't want to throw at him. He's lying to quarterbacks. He's making quarterbacks more unsure of themselves. I'm a little bit distrusting sometimes of that explanation because it sounds like an excuse for why he never gets or forces a turnover anymore. But it's also buyable, if you know what I mean. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I mean, I'm in the same camp as you as thinking that Minka needs to force a turnover. I mean, just the amount of money that he's being paid, you would imagine that, and how good of a quality player that he is. I do think that Orlovsky is right in terms of the role that they're asking Minka to play, because he's kind of playing the chess game with quarterbacks, not at the line of scrimmage, but just pre-snap like Peyton Manning would always do, but on the opposite side defensively. Because Minka's so involved in a lot of the defensive communications, him and Patrick Queen. So, yeah, I still want to see him force turnovers, do something in that regard. That is critical. But I think the argument that Orlovsky's giving makes sense. I mean, it's not like the Steelers aren't forcing any turnovers at all. It's just that Minka isn't the guy because he's playing so far off the line of scrimmage, and nobody's throwing deep
on
the Steelers.
Is it too far or too close?
I think he's a little too far.
Then he's a center fielder. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all of this. I need somebody like Chris Hoke to break this down for me. In fact, I'm going to text him as soon as this segment is finished. And I want him, this is the first time I've ever asked him to carry out an assignment, if you will.
And that's
to tell us what is going on with Minka. Pro Football Focus. This was Adam Bittner from the Post-Gazette interpreting what they were saying. A common defense for his lack of forced turnovers has been that he is otherwise reliable. Okay, doesn't get exploited deep very often, steps up well against the run, but Bittner writes, increasingly, the data suggests that such talk is little more than favorable spin for an ordinary safety making extraordinary money. That's a hell of a line there, Limits. Are you on the telephone or can you hear me? You're on the phone? Who are you on the phone with? What is going on here? We're in the middle of a conversation.
This is John. He wants to talk about Minka.
Tell him to hold on for a second.
I did.
Did you hear that line by Bittner?
No.
Data suggests that this talk of Minka, you know, doing other things to help the defense is little more than favorable spin for an ordinary safety making extraordinary money. I bet you he worked on that line for a little while. It's pretty good. PFF has credited Fitzpatrick with just one stop, defined as a tackle that results in failure for the opposing offense over the last four games, and just two over his last six. His seven for the season ranked 52nd among NFL safeties. So Bittner writes, while he's notching plenty of tackles, not many have been meaningful in disrupting offenses. His overall grade of 74.1 is 20th among safeties. His coverage grade is 26th. At a pay rate of over $20 million, that's just not good enough. I tend to agree with him. However, as with the defense as a whole, we're going to learn a lot about Minka when he gets double doses of Lamar and Joe Burrow and single doses of Mahomes and Hurts. And who else am I missing here that they still have to play?
Jameis Winston.
Not him. No, they're going to get a double dose of him. But you get the point. We're going to get a lot more evidence as to what's going on with Minka. And the other guy's Joey Porter.
Yeah.
Tomlin was asked about Joey Porter yesterday. I'm wondering if you can find that. Joey Porter's grade is awful from Pro Football Focus. We had a guy on a couple weeks ago who said that is reflective of an inconsistent player. He's had some very good weeks and some very bad weeks, and it averages out to a not very good overall grade. He's been penalized at about the rate he's getting penalized last season. And I don't know, man. We're going to be talking about the Jamar Chases of the world. Now, Terry McLaurin's really good, but that didn't work out well. That's the problem. That was not a good matchup for Porter. Would you agree?
No, not at all.
But it's not just about one game. And Tomlin tried to make the question about one game. And I would actually have to hear the question again. But it's that's really not, if I were asking Tomlin, it would be, Joey Porter, would you agree, is having a very up and down season? And, you know, what's your concern level there moving ahead?
Just wait till Flowers, Jamar Chase, A.J. Brown walk through the building in a couple weeks.
Yeah, or, you know, Devontae Smith, people like that. T. Higgins, whoever he gets matched up against. Let's hear what Tomlin said when asked about that.
Joey got penalized pretty often in the last game. What's your message to him this week? What's your challenge to him?
I don't know that it is a message. We're always working to be clean. Last week was last week. He's done an awesome job for the totality of the season. And so usually it takes two to make a pattern for me before I get active. And so I'm not going to overreact to last week.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more than two this season, more than two questionable performances. But we shall see about him and Minka and this whole defense. That's the beauty of this schedule in a way.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is why we lift all them weights. Steelers, Ravens, part one of how many this year? Definitely two. Could it be three? Huge week. First place in the AFC North. on the line here and here to talk about it from the Baltimore side is our friend Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Rob, how are you today, sir?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Looking forward to this one. Rob is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The numbers certainly suggest that Lamar is better than ever. Is that what you're seeing, Rob?
I'm seeing better than ever, more poised than ever. His ability to read defenses, his ability to get the offense out of jams pre-snap. Here's the difference. When Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator, they would break the huddle with under 10 seconds left in the play clock religiously. Now, with Todd Monken, he gets out of that huddle. There's 15 seconds plus sometimes on the play clock. He can go to the line of scrimmage. I almost felt like Greg Roman didn't trust him to make those decisions pre-snap. Todd Monken does, and more often than not, Lamar gets them out of sticky situations while his pre-snap reads.
That is really interesting. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, I didn't like Greg Roman. I don't know if you can tell that. I didn't like Greg Roman.
little bit. I mean, this is like watching. I compared it today in a written piece I did. It's like watching Ohtani when he pitched and hit because
This
guy's 15 points clear of anybody in passer rating. And then, by the way, he's going to run for close to 1,000 yards. This is historic stuff watching Lamar. Would you agree?
It's funny. I said wow because that's the same person that I compared him to. I said he's just Shohei Ohtani of football. I also said I remember when I was a little bit younger, when you're in your 20s and your buddies around and you have Madden. You can create your own player. I will create a guy like Lamar Jackson. My buddies told me that was unrealistic. Here we are in 2024. It's Lamar Jackson. You can create the guy that can throw for 4,000 yards and run. No one does that is what we used to say. Well, it's right. No one has done it, but he could do it this year.
It's unreal. And I also was on the topic of Lamar and TJ Watt, not only sharing greatness, but they haven't been to a Super Bowl, haven't won a Super Bowl. My point, Rob, was these guys are going to be legends. They are legends, really. They're all-time greats no matter what. I think by winning a Super Bowl, you can enhance your legacy, obviously. But I don't know that it becomes diminished by not getting there. I look at Dan Marino, Barry Sanders. Do you agree with that?
Well, first of all, normally when you're facing teams, the two quarterbacks are the best players on the field, and you very seldom have the best players on the field at the same time. When the Ravens and Steelers play, you do because you have Lamar and T.J. Watt on the field at the same time. Those are clearly the best two players on each team. Secondly, not winning the Super Bowl only diminishes your value during your current playing career. Once it's done and you look back on a career, then you forget about not winning the Super Bowl. In the moment, you're judged by not winning because you're in the moment.
I like that. I like the way you phrase that. Now, with this Ravens offense, they've also added Derrick Henry, who looks like prime Derrick Henry. So my question is there any weakness at all on this offense?
Well, we thought it was the offensive line, but Lamar makes them look good at times by stiff-arming defensive linemen and throwing almost going out of bounds or getting caught in the phone booth and wiggling his way out of that to pick up 10 yards after running 30. So, you know, if you're going to pick a weakness, you can say the O-line, but he kind of covers that up. No, I mean, if you take away the run early, Lamar stand in the pocket and throw. If you take away the passing game early, he'll hand it off to Henry, and Henry will run over three or four people and route the 20 yards or 40 yards. I mean, the offense is we've had the best running game in all of football before, but we've not had the best offense from top to bottom in the NFL before. Right now, they are the best offense from top to bottom in the NFL. The problem is, as good as the offense is, the defense is equally bad.
Well, let's get to that after one more question about the offense, and that is Diontae Johnson. And, man, what is happening there? There was a story here yesterday because Mike Tomlin, who usually makes any opponent sound great, you know, and if you ask him about Diontae, I feel like normally he would have said, yeah, we'll see. We know what he's capable of, blah, blah, blah. Instead, he said, they've got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week. So people wondering if it was a little shot at Diontae, but also wondering, Rob, What's his role in this offense? Are we going to see a lot of him?
First of all, that comment about Deontay Johnson by Mike Tomlin is why he's my favorite coach in the National Football League. I'll say that. You know, I mean, I know about the rivalry, and I'm not supposed to say that. Mike Tomlin is my favorite coach. I love him. He always knows what to say. So I could only imagine playing for him in a locker room and knowing what to say. Second of all,
well, how did you interpret that? How did you interpret his comment yesterday?
I interpret that as pump your brakes, dude. You haven't done anything yet. You're not on our scout report. We got Lamar Jackson. We got Derrick Henry. We got Zay Flowers. We've got Mark Andrews. We've got Isaiah Likely. Oh yeah, there's Deontay Johnson. Oh, by the way, before we get to him, you know, we've got other guys. That's why I took it. I took it like, pump your brakes. You're not that important yet. Mm. And to be honest with you, you asked me his role. That's his role right now. It's undefined. It's to be determined. He just got here last week. There are a lot of receivers in front of him right now, a lot of mouths to feed, and Lamar Jackson doesn't have the rapport with him, and he has with other receivers. So I agree with Mike Tomlin. I hope Deontay Johnson comes, and it's something because he's one of the best separators in football. But as of now, I got to be honest. I don't give you the I don't know answer honest too much, but I don't know what his role is right now. But he hasn't been here long enough, and there are a lot of weapons on his offense. And, you know, he's got to find his seat at the dinner table and find out what he's going to eat.
Before we dive too deep into the defense, and we're talking to Rob Long from 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore, one of our favorite guests. What about Kyle Hamilton? Is he going to play?
As of now, it's iffy. If he doesn't play, that's a huge, huge slap for the defense. He's the best player on the defense, if not Roquan Smith. That injury was really nasty. We're hoping he plays, but right now it's iffy.
All right. Then Tomlin yesterday kind of stood up for the Ravens defense, saying, you know, they're 32nd against the pass, but I don't see guys out of place. They haven't been really that bad. So have they been that bad, or is this more a function of going against Mahomes and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow twice and Baker Mayfield and Daniels? They've gone against a gauntlet of quarterbacks here too, right?
Yeah, but they're bad. Stop it. They're bad. I mean, they are out of place. There's times the quarterbacks complete passes to receivers and the defenders aren't on the TV. They're on the screen. Yeah, they're bad. They're bad. But I got to be honest with you, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't know whether they're that bad or scheme because these are some of the same players last year that didn't look as bad. Roquan Smith hasn't had a Roquan Smith-like year. Even before Kyle Hamilton's injury, he wasn't having a typical Kyle Hamilton career year. So I wonder whether or not this is scheme. New defensive coordinator, rookie, hadn't done the job before. And sometimes I'm watching, I'm thinking, what in the world? And then you go out and you get, you know, Dean Pease to come in to help him out. Well, Dean Pease was known for having the softest secondary around. And you come in to be his tutor. So I think it's more scheme than anything. You've got some pretty decent players. I think the scheme is flawed.
Maybe Roquan's problem is Patrick Queen isn't there anymore, Rob. One of your favorites, right?
Yeah, that's about it. That's not it. Because Trenton Simpson is actually having a really good year. So that's not it.
How about Queen? He started slowly. Your name comes up often on the show. We were thinking, man, Rob was right. But in the past couple of weeks, he's come on. And I thought, I don't know if you saw the game. We thought he had a really strong game, very noticeable against Washington.
And as I told you before, he'll have those games. He will. But overall, you know, he'll be Patrick Queen. He'll be what he was at the beginning of the season. I like Patrick Queen. So that's the misnomer. I personally like him. It's just my assessment, my opinion about him as an inside linebacker is he's not that great. As long as you don't pay him to be great, you're good to go. I think he's at his best when you have a Batman and he can be a Robin.
Well, let's go to the Ravens secondary. Actually, I'll ask you this. Aside from scheme, which can be difficult to decipher, what's been the biggest problem with their pass defense?
I know
safety, okay.
Safety position. I mean, look at the play with Deshaun Watson. He didn't play. Jameis Winston against the Cleveland Browns when the receiver got loose and got behind the secondary. Same thing last week. receivers get loose, Chase gets loose on a deep pass, you don't see the safety. Safety position has been the biggest weakness for the Baltimore Ravens this year. You see what they're out of, again, out of place, not where they should be, and awfully confused. They ran a zone a lot against the Bengals last week. Meanwhile, you know, you got a quarterback who's shredding up your zone and not so much against the man, and they didn't run enough man. So this seems to be the scheme is way off for them, but the safeties are really paying the price for that lack of scheme.
Are they healthy at the corner spot, and how has Wiggins panned out so far?
I like Wiggins. I think Wiggins has proven to be who he is, that first-round draft pick. I think that kid is going to be really, really good. Humphrey was healthy last week. He played, made a big play, getting a strip, which he does a lot, that Hawaiian punch, and he does punching the ball out. At cornerback, they're, right now, I think they're healthy enough. We get two starters ready. Again, it's just we need help at that safety position.
All right, Rob, how do you see the game playing out?
You know what? I have not given a score yet. This is the first score that I'm giving out. Pittsburgh defense is legit. I don't think they can stop the Ravens offense, but I think they can contain them. I'm going to let Ravens 24, Pittsburgh 17.
Okay, so you think the Pittsburgh defense is legit, but you still think the Ravens will win the game?
Yeah, yeah. They'll hold them to 24. Good job.
And they'll hold down Russell Wilson, then they'll hold down a Steelers offense that's been averaging up near 30. What makes you believe that a Ravens defense that you're being critical of will rise to the occasion?
Because I think the running game will control the clock enough to keep Russell Wilson away from doing what Russell Wilson probably can do. And also, I think, you know, you look at the situation that it is a rivalry, and teams seem to rise up on both sides of the ball in rivalry situations. You don't have to be a part of the rivalry in terms of you've been here for years. You feel it when you get on that football field.
By the way, last question. You've seen the Bengals a couple times. What's that situation? Are they still going to make a run at the playoffs? Are they going to be very problematic for the Steelers twice down the stretch? What's the state of the Bengals?
I don't want to see them again. That's the state of the Bengals. But I think the Bengals are – the defense is dysfunctional. Not very good. Offense is very good. The defense isn't good at all. I don't know if they can make a run, but I think they can be troublemakers in the AFC North. Making a run, but I think they can do enough to disturb things in the AFC North. I think it's still the Ravens and the Steelers division to win. The Ravens and the Steelers right now this year are the class of the division, not only because of what's on the field, but because they have the best two coaches.
Rob, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right, man. That's Rob Long from 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore. He is great. Is he not, Limits?
Yeah, he's one of my favorites from any other city that we bring on. He brings it. I remember after week one, he texted me and said, "You see the game Patrick Queen had today?" I was like, yeah, a little slow start, Rob.
But Patrick Queen's been good lately.
Yeah.
And I thought borderline very, very good the other day. No?
Well, I think it was his best game by far as a Steeler.
And I think he's going to be suitably amped for this one. Maybe even to go pay a visit to Rob, you think, up in the press box? Says hello?
Maybe they can water the grass together. Is the grass greener on the other side?
Let's talk about some of what Rob said coming up here. Plus, we have a trip around the NFL. Well, let's talk about it now while we have a few minutes. Oh, limitless wonder. First, join Odyssey Radio Station's Pet Athletics and Saloni's Italian Bakery at the Market District at Settlers Ridge, November 18th, 19th, and 20th from 2 until 7 p.m. By the way, I was just there at the Market District at Settlers Ridge.
Oh, yeah?
They had a band in the place, a band upstairs, as I was shopping around for, like, you know, avocados and lime chips. There it was, a live band. It was basically a bar. Incredible limits.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. While you're out trying to buy supplies for your tailgates and Turkey Day celebrations, help us fill up the truck to benefit Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and support your local community members. Help us bring home the biggest haul to Pitt. Learn more at 937thefan.com. We're coming up on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So he says the defense is that bad, but he wonders about the scheme. I mean, I was surprised, honestly, after our all of our conversation that he thinks that defense is going to hold the Steelers to 17 points. It didn't really add up for me. But what he said was the run game for the Ravens will keep the ball a lot.
Especially as a home game against a Baltimore defense that, I mean, has not been that great. That's the thing. I mean, chewing down the clock. And these, you usually don't get shootouts in Steelers-Ravens. I know they've gotten two with the Ravens in Cincinnati this year, but Steelers-Ravens is right in that sweet spot of 24-21, 24-17. I would be really surprised if somebody scores 30 points in this game.
I wouldn't. I think that Ravens offense is lethal, but I also think that the Steelers could match them. I wouldn't be surprised at a 34-31 game myself,
to be honest with you. Because I think the Steelers defense is top five in the NFL, and they're going to limit Baltimore's offense.
I don't. I mean, you know, numbers-wise, they are right now. I actually don't think they're one of the five best defenses in the NFL. I hope that they prove me wrong. I have large questions about that secondary in particular going into a game like this. I think Lamar's going to get a lot of work done in this game.
Who would be ahead of him, just off the top of your head right now?
I don't know. I don't have the defenses ranked in front of me limits.
San Francisco?
I don't know. I'd have to look closer. Would you like to go through the defenses? Is that what you want to do right now?
No, I was just curious who you thought of, because you didn't say they were top five. I think they're top five, and they're maybe four or five.
Oh, really? Who's the three in front of them?
I think San Francisco would be ahead of them right now.
San Francisco is let's see.
I know what the numbers are. I know it's not great.
San Francisco's not even a top 10 scoring defense right now. But you're putting me on the spot with defenses. How about the Chargers? That's a really good defense.
I think Vikings. Detroit.
Kansas City is absolutely better than the Steelers' defense.
Yes.
I think the Eagles might be. I think even the Lions might be. I'm not saying it's not a good defense. I think it is a good defense. I think there's going to be some trouble here, and I think it's going to start on Sunday. That doesn't mean they can't win, because thankfully their offense can put up points. Unbelievable.
And they beat the Charger defense, by the way.
They did. They did. Good fortune of not facing Justin Herbert for a large portion of the second half, but you're right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that Mac and Bosa were banged up too.
Maybe I should have said that.
Yeah.
Would you like to rank offenses now, or where do you want to go from here? Special teams units?
Special teams coaches.
This is unbelievable. Let's rank the special teams. No. What's that?
I was giving you some music to rank the special teams.
I know this much. I think the Ravens are the best offense in the league. Do you?
Yes, I agree. I don't think Rashad Bateman is that good of a wide receiver, but he's been making plays at times. Like, I think about all the times that he kind of slips on the field and can't see with the sun in his eyes.
Why is Rashad Bateman the first guy you mentioned say the Ravens offense? He's like the last guy I mentioned.
I think of the silver linings between measuring that offense against the Chiefs' offense or against San Francisco's offense.
The Chiefs' offense stinks right now.
Because we know how good Zay Flowers is. He's a number one wide receiver. I think Likely's really good. Mark Andrews has come back into form as a number one.
I think the quarterback's really good, and the Hall of Fame running back are really good.
Probably the best quarterback-running back combination in the NFL.
One of the best in the history of the NFL, as a matter of fact.
No denying that.
And I think it's going to be tough. But again, I think the good news is that the Steelers can put up points. I think it's going to be higher scoring than you and Rob think. But we shall see. That's the beauty of this limits. We have a trip around the NFL coming up. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Limits and I are going to rank the offensive lines and also defensive line depth. We're going to rank defensive line depth around the NFL as well, coming up, and also third string quarterbacks. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
We can put a little.
A texter does not like that I tried to pitch a list to you when you love to pitch lists to me.
What do you mean? He's on your side or my side?
He's on my side.
Because I always pitch lists?
Yes.
But I don't pitch lists knowing you don't have numbers in front of you. Like, if you ask me who are the top five quarterbacks, I'll go right for it. But who are the top five defenses? You know, I have to take a quick look. I'll acknowledge that.
What's the difference?
Wow. I came back. you and asked you for the best offenses, and you gave me San Francisco is not even in the top 10. What do you mean, what's the difference?
No, I said San Francisco would be in the top 5.
I know. And you were wrong.
Yeah.
High of 58 degrees with cloudy skies.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.